If you join me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today, let's start off with a couple of updates with respect to Cinco de Mayo. As you all know, Canelo Alvarez is going to be fighting Jaime Munguia, and it's going to be one heck of a bout. This particular article that I found on boxing247.com is all about the fights that have taken place for Canelo on the Cinco de Mayo weekend. For example, he's had 8 or 9 fights, but in order of them taking place, here are his previous Cinco de Mayo fights. Shane Mosley back in 2012, James Kirkland 2015, Amir Khan 2016, Julio Chavez Jr. 2017, Danny Jacobs 2019, Billy Joe Saunders 2021, Dimitri Bivol 2022, and John Ryder 2023. Probably of note there would be the one he lost was against the 175-pounder Dimitri Bivol. So we're all looking forward to this big fight upcoming on Cinco de Mayo weekend, May 4th in particular, and see how Canelo does, even though we were hoping for a David Benavidez showdown. But nonetheless, this will be a good fight, a very entertaining fight, and a very good battle, I think. Or Canelo's going to knock him out in the first round. Anyway, upcoming as well, something that was delayed due to an injury, Eric Bazinyan is going up against Shaquille Finn in Montreal, upcoming in a couple of days' time. That's taking place at the Casino de Montreal. Let's have a quick look here. Eric Bazinyan is 32-0, looks to notch another defense in his North American Boxing Federation super middleweight title against the surging challenger Shaquille Finn, 26-3-1. After, as I said, the bout was previously delayed owing to illness on Bazinyan's end. It'll be broadcast live on ESPN Plus, by the way, at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, as I said, May 2nd. UK viewers, believe you can look forward to it at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. So he's Bazinyan. He's yet to suffer a loss in his professional career. He's currently rated at number 6 by Ring Magazine, yet remains under the radar of many boxing fans, likely owing to a resume lacking in recognizable names. His stoppages are impressive and his talent is evident. If he's to win come Thursday, his sights should be set much higher given his division is rich with talent and competition. His challenger, by the way, Shaquille, the Jamaican juggernaut Finn, is currently on a five fight winning streak and appears confident in his ability to beat Bazinyan. The 33-year-old is sure to give the champion difficulty. He's also looking to make a name for himself in the division as well. Another name to mention here on that card, 9-0 super featherweight Thomas Chabot. He'll be looking to impress against 6-1-1 Alfredo Jimenez Espiso. Very good stuff. Another super featherweight, Avery Martin Duval, bills himself as the future with a 10-0-1 record. 22 years old. Seems pretty promising. All right. Lauren Price, who's getting ready to fight Jess McCaskill. I believe this is only going to be her 7th fight, professionally speaking. But anyway, and after Jess McCaskill, hopes to target Natasha Jonas and Sandy Ryan on the road to a glistening legacy as one of boxing's most dominant figures. I guess that's according to her. Anyway, the Olympic champion will fight for a world title for the first time in her career on May 11th, when she challenges McCaskill for the WBA, IBO, and Ring Magazine World Welterweight titles in Cardiff. It'll mark just the 7th fight. Yeah, so I was right. It'll mark just the 7th fight of her rapidly moving professional career, with Price having set out to bring big-time boxing back to Wales by emulating the influence of Katie Taylor in Ireland. Good for her. In other women's boxing news, there was a Golden Boy card recently where we saw, I believe, Virgil Ortiz clobber Thomas Delorme. But on that card was also Marlon Esparza, 14-1, now 14-2, who, when she was weighing in, missed weight by a full 2 pounds for her mandatory rematch against Gabriela Alinas, who's 14-1, who's now 15-1, because Alinas beat Esparza by not making weight. Esparza, it should be noted, lost her WBA, WBC, and WBO flyweight titles. And therefore, I suppose we're not going to see the Gabriela Fundura fight for all the belts. Anyway, moving along, another young lady winning, Beatriz Ferreira. Ferreira spent years traveling the world and fighting the very best during a long, hard, ultimately outstanding amateur career. But now the 31-year-old Brazilian fought Argentina's Yanina Lescano on Saturday. Didn't only secure her vacant IBF lightweight title, but also completed the first part of what Ferreira hopes will be a truly historic double. Ferreira encountered some brave resistance from Lescano, but her relentless aggression eventually proved too much for the Argentinian. Ferreira was well on top when the fight went to the judges' scorecards after an accidental clash of heads opened a huge gash over Lescano's eye. Officially, Ferreira became a world champion with a six-round technical decision, but in reality, the clash of heads probably prevented her from winning the title in much more conclusive fashion. Vasily Lomachenko has arrived in Australia ahead of his May 12th fight against hometown fighter and former unified lightweight champ George Kambosos Jr. in their battle set up for the RAC Arena in Perth. The vacant IBF lightweight title will be at stake for the Lomachenko-Kambosos fight, and that makes it much more interesting, I suppose. It might take a miracle for Kambosos to win this fight against the more accomplished and talented former three-division world champion Lomachenko. However, Kambosos Jr. is certainly fighting in the right place to win a decision. You have to figure that if the fight goes to cards, Kambosos Jr. will likely have his hand raised. Kambosos' last three fights, Maxie Hughes, a highly criticized 12-round majority decision win for Kambosos in a fight that a lot of fans saw him losing. Devin Haney, twice, two consecutive defeats. Some boxing fans see Kambosos as unworthy of fighting for another world title. Given he's lost two of his last three fights, he's coming off a questionable 12-round majority decision over Maxie Hughes. And that fight took place last July. Anyway, ideally, Kambosos should have given Hughes a rematch to show the boxing public that he's truly a better man and not just someone who got lucky with the scoring. Instead of doing that, Kambosos moves on and goes into this fight with Lomachenko, looking tarnished in the eyes of fans who saw his fight with Hughes and watched his consecutive defeats against Devin Haney. So, Kambosos' record, by the way, for those interested, 21-2, 10 knockouts. Potentially should have lost to Hughes. Anyway, other fighters. Results here. Former junior welterweight champ Jose Ramirez scored a unanimous decision victory over Ranchesh Bartholomew after 12 hard-fought rounds that took place in Fresno, California. Ramirez, 29-1, 18 knockouts, ESPN's number 8 ranked at 140, won by scorecards of 119-109, 119-109, and 118-110. It was Ramirez's first fight with new promoter Golden Boy and his third consecutive victory since losing his belts to Josh Taylor back in May 2021. Someone else on the winning side of things, unbeaten super welterweight contender Virgil Ortiz Jr., now 21-0, 21 knockouts, made quick work of former world title challenger Thomas Delorme on Saturday night to set up a mouth-watering August 3rd showdown with WBO junior middleweight champ Tim Tsayu. I know you're just watching this fight, Tim. I know I'm ready. I just want to beat the best. They bring me opponents, and I knock them out, said Ortiz. Good for him. All right. Another name I want to mention, because I'd never heard of this fellow before, quite frankly, but I thought I'd bring it to your attention, Tom Rafferty. He headlined a fight in Manchester, England, in the middleweight division, and sent his large contingent of fans home happy, stopping Vitas Balkiakas in four rounds. That was his fifth fight in 11 months. Wow. And he obviously benefited from the momentum of quickly moving from fight to fight. Known as the Tommy Gun, he's been working on distance bodywork and maintaining his shape, doing inside work with his trainer, Steve Maillet. And the fighter showed improvements in all of those departments against Balkiakas. Rafferty, he's 12-0, four knockouts, consistently hurt the Lithuania's Balkiakas with his left hook to the body, finally putting him down for the count with a well-timed shot midway through the fourth round. After a short break, Rafferty will step up to eight rounds, after which he can realistically begin looking toward area and English titles. So a name to look out for in the middleweight division and probably moving up, Tom Rafferty. Former world champ Jürgen Breichmer served as both promoter and trainer in a show in Nuremberg, Germany, held on Saturday. He fared well as promoter, but had to throw in the towel when his cruiserweight, Armand Hochach, 18-4-9 knockouts, was out on his feet against Hussein Cinkara, 22-0, and had to be retired. Cinkara looked very good against Hochach in the IBF Eliminator and is now expected to face the winner of the Dmitry Bivol Artur Beterbiev fight. I think he'd be standing in line for that particular battle. But anyway, we never know, do we? I'm going to close out with some sad news. Arti Nedembo, remember I brought this to your attention a few weeks back. He was knocked out in his heavyweight battle in the Team Combat League. He was taken to a hospital, put into an induced coma. But sadly, at the age of 27, he died in hospital. He was competing against Nestor Santana on April 5th in Miami. As I said, when he suffered a knockout that left him unconscious in the ring for several minutes, he was taken to a Miami hospital where a coma was induced, and he succumbed to his injuries now 3 weeks later. We at Viva Promotions mourn the loss of Arti Nedembo, a talented Congolese boxer who tragically passed away after a knockout in a Team Combat League match on April 5th, the promotion said in a statement. He remained in an induced coma until his untimely death. Rest in peace, Arti Nedembo. Jeff Mayweather, the uncle of legendary boxer Floyd Mayweather, is a member of the Las Vegas Hustle team that Nedembo represented in the Team Combat League and was ringside for the fight against Santana. He said, "Boxing is a sport where you grew up watching it and loving it, but there's so much risk involved. Anyone can lose their life in boxing. When someone like this, when something like this happens, it wakes up the entire world. I don't think boxing is a bad sport because you can die in any sport. You drive a race car at 200 miles an hour. If it slides, you're going to die too. You can die in any sport, but boxing is a brutal sport." Well, fight fans, that wraps it up here for another episode of Boxing News Today. Thank you very much for joining me. Appreciate it. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and we'll see you again on TalkingFight.com. Thanks for joining me.